if the Feast of the Blessed Trinity can be rightly called the Feast of God, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is rightly the Feast of Jesus Christ. For this feast is the feast that commemorates and puts before our minds the God-man. In this period after Easter, we are celebrating all of the effects, both of Christmas and of Holy Week and Easter. And toward the end of this season, we are looking upon our blessed Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are contemplating Him. He is the object of our contemplation because He is both God and man. When we consider how far apart God and man are by nature, God is infinite. He had no beginning. He will have no end. He is all perfect. He is infinite. He is all powerful. He is life itself. He has the perfection of life. He doesn't need anything. He is, in that sense, rich, perfectly rich, in need of nothing. And then we consider man, who, although he has an immortal soul, nonetheless is attached to a body that can be snuffed out of existence in a moment, in the same way that you see little animals that are run over on the road in that same amount of time and with the same delicacy of nature. We too can be snuffed out in a moment. We are nothing. We are like all of the other corporeal creatures that are here today and gone tomorrow. We have no hold on life. And so these two things, the eternal, immortal God of all ages, comes together with failure itself and dependency itself in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that alone should draw our attention. And that's why we say in the litany that He is the delight of all the saints, because the saints looked upon Him and contemplated Him. Because that is a wonderful thing, that God and man should come together in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we also think about in Him the effect that God has upon our nature. We see the true effect of it in the Transfiguration. But we can imagine if He were on earth, and what He was on earth, how much He attracted people by the fact that God was, in a sense, oozing out of His human nature. And we understand, for example, why the apostles, when He called them, set down their nets and followed Him. And why crowds would go for 3 days without eating to listen to Him, because He was God. We also notice in the Sacred Heart that it is pierced with a lance. And this fact should make us understand the motive of the Incarnation, which was to save us from sin. There was a price to pay. Our Lord did not come here merely as something to look at, to contemplate, but rather He came for a very nasty job. And that was to pay for our sins with His blood. And so His Sacred Heart is pierced with a lance, and it bleeds for our sins. Our Lord is a Savior. He's a Savior of men. And this piercing of the heart of Jesus
reminds us that salvation is by the Holy Cross. It is not by a life of pleasure. That salvation is not a return to the Garden of Paradise, but it is by the hard, high road of cobblestones and thorn bushes of the Holy Cross. And that the first to bear the pain of the cross was the Savior himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so his preaching to us of the Holy Cross is something that comes, we might say literally, from the heart. And looking upon this Sacred Heart, we come to realize that he is merciful. He exposed his Sacred Heart to us, to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, in order to show sinners his great mercy. As the world became more sinful, as the world receded from the Savior with the passage of time, even Catholics, even priests and religious, as they became more cold to him, he went after them like the shepherd that leaves the 99 in the desert and goes and finds the little lamb. So he went for us, and he calls us back as really our last chance, as he said to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, as the last chance for humanity, that we come to love him. Because he is all-merciful. If you fall into a mortal sin, which is an evil worse than the destruction of the whole universe, the only thing that you need to do is to come to the Sacred Heart, be sorry, confess, and intend to lead a good life. And all is forgiven. Mortal sin is the worst problem that you can ever get. You might have marital problems. You might have financial problems. You might have diseases. You might be afflicted with mental disease or emotional problems. You might have terrible problems in your life. But the worst problem that you can ever have is to be in the state of mortal sin. For that separates you from the friendship of God. No other problem that you have separates you from the friendship of God. I don't care what problem it is. It does not separate you from the friendship of Almighty God. But mortal sin does. And yet mortal sin is the easiest problem to solve. And those other problems, which in the long run of eternity will not amount to a hill of beans, those problems are many times insoluble and are with you your whole life or a great part of your life. But the great problem, the problem of eternity, which is mortal sin, is solved by a mere contrition of heart and a loyal appearance before the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the form of the sacrament of penance. And contemplating all this, we understand then that the Sacred Heart is lovable. As Pope Pius XI said, who could not love him in return? Thinking about these things, thinking about the fact that he gave his life for us, that he showed us his Sacred Heart, who could not love him in return? But yet the modern age is so cold to him. Cardinal Newman said over 100 years ago that the church has never faced the problem of irreligion. It faced the problem of paganism, which wanted to cut it up and eat it. It faced the problem of heresies. It faced the problem of the Muslims and all sorts of enemies. But it never faced, until the 19th century, the problem of irreligion. That is, that people just don't care. And this problem of irreligion, indifference, is seen on the level of faith in ecumenism. That it doesn't matter what you believe. It just doesn't matter. Who cares? I was telling a person not too long ago that on Palm Sunday, our doors opened and we came out with our procession and our bells, and across the street, the Lutherans had their trumpets going at the very same time. And this person said to me, he was not a Catholic, "Oh, I'm sure the Lord, though, is pleased with both of it." And this is typical of the modern age, that it doesn't matter what you believe, and that is irreligion in the intellect, indifference to the truth. And in the will, it is indifference to God. It is coldness. It is to love the world, the things of the world, the pleasures of the world, to be distracted, not to hate, but to be so distracted that your heart is cold. And the church has never dealt with that before. And so we need to spend more time in prayer, devotion, and spiritual reading. We need to do that because the modern world bangs at our door and opens it with distraction and pours into our soul coldness and indifference toward the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I don't know if you've noticed, but the devotions to the Sacred Heart have been taken off the bulletin. Why? Because the attendance is a mere handful. It is no longer worth doing it. Friday nights are an empty chapel. When our Lord is exposed on the altar. And so those devotions to the Sacred Heart, ironically, in his very month, are taken away. Why is this? Because of the coldness. It's not hatred. It's indifference and coldness. Because your hearts are filled with the world. And when you come to that moment of your life, when you are sinking into death, and when you are helplessly grasping at the last moments of your life, but sinking as if falling off a cliff, and you can't help it, you can't stop it, and that moment, that fearful moment, will come for all of us when the soul separates from the body. Then what will be important? What will be important is that hour that you spent with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Not the shopping, not the television, not the games that you saw or attended, not the entertainments and the recreation and the conversation, but that hour with our Blessed Lord will be all important to you. One good hour spent. What a wonderful way to spend 1 hour on your knees before the Sacred Heart of Jesus. 1 hour. And so look into your hearts and see if they are not refrigerators or freezers with regard to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so we say to him in his litany, O Sacred Heart of Jesus, full of goodness and love, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.